Last Wednesday, we began our midweek Advent sermon series based on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Also last Wednesday, we heard Isaiah prophesy this: the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 800 years before the Son of God is born of the Virgin Mary, the prophet Isaiah is moved by the Holy Spirit to write words that point people ahead to their Savior. We also heard from the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel that an angel is sent to Joseph to explain to him that his fiancée, Mary, is still a virgin, despite the baby in her womb, because it was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The angel tells Joseph to name the baby Jesus, a Hebrew name that means God saves. Matthew then says that Jesus' birth fulfills the words of Isaiah 7:14, which I just read to you. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. If you recall, Isaiah said that the child born of the virgin would be called Emmanuel, a Hebrew word that means God with us. Emmanuel is one of the titles given to Jesus because he is the eternal Son of God in human flesh. In addition, if we continue to look at our passage from Isaiah 9:6, we find four more titles that will be given to the baby named Jesus. Last Wednesday, we learned about the first title given in Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus was given that title because he spoke with authority. In other words, he spoke as if Jesus was God himself. And Jesus' counsel is wonderful because his teaching is the teaching of our God. That is why it's so important for us Christians to hear, read, study, and believe Holy Scripture. As Jesus says in John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, tonight's sermon theme then is based on the second title given to the child as found in Isaiah 9:6, Mighty God. Now, there were people in Jesus' day that refused to believe that Jesus was God in the human flesh. Well, guess what? Things really haven't changed. Today, we find people that celebrate Christmas every year but refuse to believe that Jesus is God. However, if we take Scripture seriously, we can't avoid the fact that the child born of Mary is Mighty God. For example, some people try to say that the original Hebrew of this title in Isaiah 9:6, Mighty God, should be translated as a great hero. This would imply that the child would be somebody famous, a famous man, but still just a man. There are serious problems with this. First, we already know that the child will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Second, the original Hebrew of this title really can't be translated as great hero. The original word behind this title, Mighty God, is found in three other places in the Old Testament. And in each of these three cases, the title clearly refers to God himself and not merely to some human who happens to be a great hero. For example, Deuteronomy 10:17 reads, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who's not partial and takes no bribe. In Jeremiah 32:18 we read, O great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Finally, just one chapter after our verse from Isaiah 9:6, we find these words in chapter 10, verse 21. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. So based on this evidence, that Hebrew word used here in 9:6 can only mean mighty God. This child born of the Virgin Mary will be called mighty God because he is the very Son of God in human flesh. In fact, the first three verses of John's Gospel stresses this point. John 1:1-3 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." A good Lutheran question then is, what does this mean? The Word is one of the titles John gives to Jesus because Jesus speaks on behalf of his Father. John says the Word was with God and was the Word was God. Here John is laying the foundation of the teaching that later Christians would call the Holy Trinity. In other words, there is only one God, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Simply put, the Son of God was with the Father and the Spirit in the beginning. Now here John, as he goes on to write a few verses later in John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." By these words, John is alluding to the fact that the Son of God took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. This takes us to our gospel for tonight, which is taken from John chapters 5 and 8. In John chapter 5, we read about Jesus performing miracles on the Sabbath, a day when God's people were supposed to rest from their work so they could focus on God's work for them as Creator and Savior. But Jesus says he must work on the Sabbath. Why? Well, the reason he must work on the Sabbath is because his Father is also working. In other words, Jesus is claiming to be God and that he must work on the Sabbath because as God, he upholds all creation. As it says at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." And with that said, now we must look at the second half of our gospel from John chapter 8. There Jesus tells the Jews who refuse to believe in him that they are not children of God. Then Jesus says that all Old Testament believers, including the father of Israel, Abraham, believed in Jesus and looked forward to his coming. Now, when the unbelieving Jews heard all of this, they say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Then Jesus spoke these awesome words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." By these words, Jesus is teaching them that he is the eternal Son of God come in the flesh. There's many other passages that I could share with you tonight that clearly teach that Jesus deserves the title Mighty God because he was and still is God in the flesh. But why I stress this point? Well, the reason that it's so important is that the devil does not want you to believe that Jesus is God in human flesh. You see, if Jesus is only a man, then he's not our Savior. Scripture clearly teaches that only God himself can save us from sin, death, and the devil. For example, in Genesis 3:15, God said that the woman would give birth to a male child who would crush the power of the devil. Only God can crush the power of the devil. Therefore, the male child born to the woman would have to be God himself in human flesh. But how would God's Son in human flesh crush the devil? Jesus would crush the devil by allowing himself to be crushed by our sin so that we may be saved from death and the eternal hell that we actually deserve. Of course, no mere human can pay for the sin of all mankind. Only God himself can do that. So if God himself was not hanging on that cross, you and I are still under the curse of our sins. We are still slaves of the devil. It's no wonder the devil does not want you to believe that Jesus is mighty God. Well, let's think about this for a second. All who deny that Jesus is God must either deny the reality of sin, or they have to try to deal with sin on their own. But both of those options are based on a lie to keep us from receiving the salvation from the mighty God. When we think like this, we don't accept that our sins deserve God's punishment. We don't accept that only God himself can save us from our sins, and that he did this by sending his only Son in the flesh to the cross for us. But the good news is that God has used his word to rescue us from the devil's lies. Tonight, God has taught you that the male child born of the Virgin Mary is mighty God, the one who hung on the cross for all of your sins, including the sin of forgetting that Jesus is mighty God in the flesh and that he is with you always, as he said. Jesus is mighty God, and he forgives you. And if the mighty God forgives you, the devil has no power, no claim over you. Jesus is mighty God, and he claimed you as his own in your baptism, where he put his name on you, washed you from the guilt of your sin by the power of his divine blood. Jesus is mighty God, and he nurtures your faith in him as he teaches you with his holy word. Jesus is mighty God, and he gives you his own body and blood in holy communion to assure you that your sins are forgiven and that your mighty God is with you. Jesus is mighty God, and he will help you to live as his child in this fallen world. Jesus is mighty God, and he has given you eternal life, a promise fulfilled when he returns in power and in glory. So tonight, as we draw ever closer to Christmas Day, just 2 weeks from today, let us not be like those who celebrate Christmas every year but refuse to accept the truth of God's word. Because when you believe the scriptures, take them seriously, hear, read, learn, meditate on them, you can't possibly avoid the fact that a child is born of the Virgin Mary, and he is our mighty God. Amen.